This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
This is session 3 of our study of The Last Things, entitled The Church Age, published February 20, 2022. And the charts that are distributed with this file, The Church Age, The Dispensations, and The Generative Cycles. Because God's Word in its entirety is an intricately interwoven tapestry with Christ Jesus as its central figure, it can be difficult to know where to break into the narrative to begin a study of the last things. But since I've argued for the inaugural event of the eschaton being Christ's first advent, that is, Bethlehem, we'll begin there. And during this session, you'll want to, at least to begin, you'll want to refer to the accompanying chart, The Church Age. Now, let me throw in a note here. Please note one feature of the charts. Instead of including scripture references in place in the body of the timeline, which I find clutters it unnecessarily, I have treated the references as footnotes, adding them in a separate area at the bottom of the page. When I began this study, and in fact, I've had in my possession a number of publications, including charts for the end times, most of which were drawn by hand. The most recent one, I believe, was published in the 1960s, and I found them, they're very hard to digest. They're very hard to understand because there's so much handwriting, there's so many scripture references listed within the chart that it's very cluttered. And so I wanted to do it differently. Typically, in the charts for this class, typically there's not just a number or title as in chart 2 in the footnotes, but a corresponding color to match it to the item above. So the scripture references are isolated from the timeline, and there are numbers or titles and colors to tie them to the timeline, areas of the timeline where they apply. Not all charts include these footnotes, but most do. Approximately 33 years after his incarnation in Bethlehem, Christ is crucified. And a few days after that, he's resurrected from the dead. Then for about a month and a half, Jesus appears to and speaks with different individuals and groups before ascending to the Father. Jesus was arrested on the first night of the Passover. 50 days later, Jews celebrated the day of Pentecost, or Day of First Fruits, or Feast of Weeks, as dictated by the law. Turn please to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16. And let's read verses 9 to 10. You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. You shall begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give just as the Lord your God blesses you. Later in the first century, the day was celebrated as the anniversary of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. So it's with poetic irony that God chose to send the Holy Spirit to inaugurate the church era on the very day Jews celebrated the giving of the Mosaic Law. That is, the dispensation of grace began the day Israel was celebrating the giving of the Mosaic Law. Now let's read Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now note, this is theology on which individuals may disagree, that the church began in Acts 2 with the giving of the Holy Spirit is mostly a dispensational position. For, different from some, we see Israel as separate and distinct from the Christian church. To put it succinctly, just for the moment, during the last things, Israel and Christians play different roles and are treated by God in different ways. As stated in our church's Articles of Faith regarding the millennial period, quote, "This 1,000-year period has its foundation in the great unconditional covenants of the Old Testament. Abrahamic, Genesis 12, 1-3, Genesis 13, 14-17, 15, 9-18, 17, 1-9. The Palestinian, Deuteronomy 30, 1-10. The Davidic, 2 Samuel 7, 10-16, Psalm 89. And the New Covenant, Jeremiah 31, verses 31-34. Christ will be the king of this millennial or Davidic kingdom, with the nation Israel occupying an exalted position within the kingdom. Isaiah 11, 1-10. End quote. More on this when we study the millennium. Of course, we believe the church, the redeemed in Christ, will have been removed from earth at the rapture, returning then with Christ when he comes in judgment. Thus, the New Testament church is not to be lumped together with the Old Testament Jewish believers by faith. That is, for example, Abraham. Nor do we say that the church represents the new Israel. The two are and remain separate. Now, so far in this session and earlier, I've mentioned the dispensationalism. So, before we get too far along in this study of the last things, it's time to include a bit more about dispensationalism. Please refer to the accompanying chart, The Dispensations. I'll make every effort to limit the discussion to only those aspects pertinent to our study. Even so, for many of you, this may be relatively new and rather detailed information, but we must include it because it plays an important role in not just what happens in the eschaton, but why and to whom, especially regarding Israel. Now, there's far more to dispensationalism than what I will cover here, but I want to keep it focused. We really don't need to deal with those other aspects of it. I'm not in any way disagreeing with them. They just are not pertinent to this study. We get a general definition of dispensational theology from an essay written by Michael J. Vlock, professor of theology at the Master's Seminary, and an expert on the, quote, "the nation of Israel and issues related to refuting the doctrine of replacement theology," end quote. That is, the errant doctrine that the church has replaced Israel as God's chosen people. Here's what Vlock writes. "Dispensationalism is an evangelical theological system that addresses issues concerning the biblical covenants, Israel, the church, and end times. It also argues for a literal interpretation of Old Testament prophecies involving ethnic, national Israel, and the idea that the church is a New Testament entity that is distinct from Israel. In Webster's Second College Edition, definition number 7 for the word dispensation is, quote, the ordering of events under divine authority, end quote. At its root, dispensationalism says that God has worked in different ways in a number of distinct time periods or epochs, that is, dispensations, in human history. For one obvious example that we can easily understand, there was the legal dispensation, or law, Moses to Christ, during which God said that to be righteous, that is, right with God, one must follow the precepts handed down in the Mosaic law. After this, however, there was the dispensation of grace, or the church age, in which we are presently, during which righteousness is determined by faith in Christ Jesus. And note, God does not change. And dispensationalism affirms that salvation has always been by grace through faith alone. For example, Genesis 15:6, quote, then Abram believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness, end quote. Abraham came before even the law. Did God declare him righteous because he was a good person? Because he behaved in holy, righteous ways? No. God declared him righteous because he believed in the Lord. He trusted in him. But throughout the history of man, God has initiated different covenants or agreements for different people at different times. All is part of his plan. And it's my personal view, I wouldn't dream of being dogmatic about this, but it's my personal view that God himself does not reckon in epochs or dispensations, but just sees his economy working its way seamlessly and an unbroken thread through man's history. His purpose, his goal, has never changed. From the beginning, it has always pointed to Christ's kingdom. The classic number of dispensations has been 7. Let me outline them here. First, innocence, or Edenic dispensation, that is, Adam before the fall. Second is conscience, or antediluvian, before the flood dispensation, Adam to Noah. Third, human government, or post-diluvian, after the flood, Noah to Abraham. Fourth, promise, or patriarchal dispensation, Abraham to Moses. Fifth, law, or legal dispensation, Moses to Christ. Sixth, grace, or ecclesiastical dispensation, Pentecost to the rapture. This is the dispensation in which we find ourselves now. And finally, kingdom, or messianic dispensation, which would be the millennium. But not all dispensationalists agree on the number, and all need not agree. It's not important. In my chart of the dispensations, I've listed 8. In my generative cycles chart, I've added creation as a subdivision to the first innocence dispensation. The number is not of critical importance. It's just a way to organize things. Dispensationalism is not synonymous with pre-tribulationalism and or premillennialism, but the three are often associated with each other. That is, if one subscribes to the first, one typically subscribes to the other two. Most, but not all, dispensationalists believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. We believe the rapture of the church is described, for example, by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-17, which we will look at in our next session. There are two key passages in God's Word that pre-tribulationalists reference for their position. Let's look at the first one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9-10. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. That word translated wrath is orge, meaning anger, indignation, vengeance, punishment. Our position is that those in Christ, the redeemed, sanctified, justified saints, will not and cannot suffer that. And now let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Jesus says, I will keep you from that hour of testing. And by the way, no extra charge for this, but anticipating that some might have a question about Revelation 2:10, which reads, you will have tribulation, end quote. Well, that speaks of a briefer time of persecution and imprisonment for members of the church in Smyrna, not the tribulation. Now, let me touch on just a few points as we wrap this up. First, regarding Israel. Regarding the issue of Israel, as mentioned earlier, there are some who claim that the Christian church replaces Israel as God's chosen people. Many non-dispensationalists, quote, hold that the Old Testament as a whole is comprised of types and shadows of greater New Testament realities. In line with this idea, some assert that national Israel in the Old Testament functioned as a type of the New Testament church. That's by Vlock. Now, I confess that before I began this study, I never dreamed of such things. It never occurred to me that some would hold the position that some do, that the Old Testament Israel was little more than a type foreshadowing the New Testament church. And even worse, that those same people would believe that all the Old Testament prophecies God made to Israel only saw their fulfillment in the New Testament church. Dispensationalists believe that God's word clearly differentiates between the two, and that God's promises made to Israel will be fulfilled to Israel during the last things. I love how Michael J. Vlock puts this succinctly, quote, God keeps his promises to those whom the promises were made, end quote. Now, we'll look at this in greater depth when we get to the millennium and, by extension, the tribulation, for Israel will play a vital role during those periods. Let me add a few remarks about the charts. First, the dispensations chart. During the sessions of this class, I do not intend to walk you through every minute detail of each chart. In most instances, as today, I'll offer an overview during the session, but leave the rest of the discovery to you. Now, that's not laziness on my part. It's my view that it will be to your benefit to work through these details and references for yourself. In that personal discovery and realization will be found much of the fascination and joy of this topic that I've already been blessed to experience. I've lost count of the times in preparations for this study when I've read something and it just takes my breath away. The power of it, the synchronicity of it. And I want you to experience that same thing. And you'll find that less in the timeline of these charts than in the references down below. Work through them on their own. Take the time to do that and you'll be rewarded. The body of this chart, the dispensations chart, is self-explanatory. There's really no point in assigning dates or, in most cases, even a precise length to the individual dispensations. The true wonder and depth of the dispensations is found in the references below that accompany each epoch. For almost every dispensation is inaugurated or at least associated with a declaration or agreement, a covenant, established by God Himself with either an individual or a people. Spend some time on your own reading through these passages to obtain a picture of how the Lord God has generously, yet righteously, moved His will and purpose through the generations from Adam all the way to those who will dwell with Him in the New Jerusalem of the, quote, new heaven and new earth, end quote. And the generative cycles chart. For me, the value of the generative cycles chart is in how it visualizes the eternal structure and order of God's economy for man in Christ. And how, even if one breaks it down, as I have in the three aspects, generational, dispensational, and believers, there is continuity. It all tracks. We won't take the time here to digest every component of the chart, but it would be well worth your time to sit down with it on your own, examining each column first downward, and then each row from left to right. It all speaks to the genius of the Godhead, in how this world and its destiny under God and in Christ were created in poetic symmetry. Now, I'd like to close by reading the history of the beginning of the church. We find that in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, beginning with verse 41. So then, those who had received His word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. We hold that the end of the dispensation of grace, the closing of the church age, will come when Christ Jesus returns for His church at the rapture, just before the tribulation. And that rapture will be the topic of our next three sessions.
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2021 by David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared with others. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible Studies section of our website at dlample.com. This website also includes our monthly devotional, Reflections by the Pond, as well as archives of our devotional publications made available for over 30 years. Unless otherwise indicated, scripture in this audio file is from the New American Standard Bible, updated edition, copyright, Lachman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek-Hebrew Dictionary. All resources, both at our devotional site, dlample.com, and our His Company Christian Drama site, hc.dlample.com, are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website.